Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
I'm Deontay Burton, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Hamadou Diallo.
Hey, I'm Danilo Gallinari.
I'm Chris Paul, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
What's Dort?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what that was.
In English, bro.
I'm Darius Baisley, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm Steven Adams.
I'm Andre Robertson, and I'm down to dunk.
Yeah. On you.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me today on this beautiful Monday morning. Actually, I don't even know if it's beautiful. It's dark outside. Michele Vera. Michele, what's up?
Well, here is mildly sunny, so okay. We have a good day here.
Okay.
I'm glad to be back on Monday.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Last week has been terrible, so it's great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. So today this idea is kind of about the NBA finals being terrible, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to have to talk about the finals really at all. Turns out game three was awesome. Jimmy Butler was outrageous last night, and if you haven't heard the stat, he's the first wing in the modern era to ever get a 40-point, to ever have 40 points without taking a three, which is wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
He was so good last night. I mean, he just dominated from beginning to end, and it was a very, very enjoyable basketball game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I have yet to see the first half because I got up really late this morning, so I had time just for the second half. But it was incredible. I mean, Jimmy was very passive in game one and game two, or the Lakers did a better job on him. However you want to frame this, Jimmy had an awesome night, and the Heat needed that. And the fact that he was able to get in the teeth of the defense all night, he didn't settle for many outside jumpers. And I mean, it was just a night where he had it. And I think the Heat will need that, even if Bam is back, even if Dragic will be back for game four. We don't know yet. I think that this kind of Jimmy is what Miami needs. I will not bank on the fact that the Lakers will shot that poorly in the next games, because the shot quality was actually good, but the results weren't as good. So it will be a fun series. I mean, if somehow Miami gets game four, then it's a series.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not quite buying it yet.
No, me neither. Because, I mean, it's LeBron James. And he had, like, a few bad possessions in the fourth quarter that he probably wants back. And even then, I mean, I was listening to Zach Lowe post-game podcast this morning. And he said something along the line, like, when did you believe that the Heat were going to win? And I could say, I mean, up until the last 2-3 minutes of the game.
It was 2 minutes. Yeah. Then I was like, okay, seems like they're really gonna make this happen.
Exactly. So this is how the Lakers make you feel. Like, they are that good. And I don't care about the fact that they seem to have like a bad bench or whatever. They have two very functional superstars that can work together. And this is incredible. No other franchise has that. Yeah. Kawhi and Paul George are not that functional together. Russ and Harden are not that functional together. This is just reality. I mean, the next duo that is very functional may be Porzingis and Doncic. They are very, very functional together, but they are not there yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so today's show, we are going to break down the NBA draft and also the players in the NBA finals and see if there's any comps for these NBA draftees in the 2020 draft. So I thought we could talk about the Lakers and then talk about the Heat and use Sam Vecenie's top 100 list to go off of and kind of explain some who these guys are and maybe what they can offer. So I'm going to go to theathletic.com, which you can get for $1 a month right now. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for $1. So here's Sam Vecenie's big board. Let's go ahead and say this. I don't have comps for Anthony Davis, LeBron James, or Jimmy Butler in this draft. Do you have a comp for any of the three, McKellen?
Well, yeah, just for Jimmy. I don't think that there is.
Let's start with Jimmy because he's the hot hand here.
I mean, it's not that Anthony Edwards can have the average outcome of Anthony Edwards is not Jimmy Butler. It's probably something along the line of Dion Waiters with maybe a slightly better career. Yeah. But he has the potential to be that kind of guard, especially if he buys in on defense. He has the size. Like, his size is very comparable to Jimmy Butler. The fact that he likes to create his own shot and be extremely physical, that is another quality that they might have in common. That said, there is a long way to go from being Anthony Edwards to be Jimmy Butler.
Oh my God! Yes.
Because Butler built his own his future based on consistency, hard work,
attitude, play,
like a remarkably good defense.
Yeah.
So clearly Edwards didn't show any of this in the college level. I mean, no consistency, no defense whatsoever. Well, he had some moments where he could play some defense, but this is not how you should. And you should play defense at the NBA level. You cannot take possessions off as a rookie. So does Anthony Edwards possess the potential to be an all-star guard? Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. With shot creation potential and defensive upside. This is why I think he's the only one in this class that can really relate to Jimmy as a player. But, I mean, who listens to Thunder After Dark knows that he's not my go-to guy in this draft. So I wouldn't hold my breath into him becoming a player to the level of Jimmy Butler, or at least the Jimmy Butler that we know today.
Yeah, I wouldn't disrespect Jimmy in my doc and put Anthony Edwards' name next to his. I just couldn't do it. Refused to do it.
That's fair.
Yeah, I Edwards is a risk. He's a risk to me because he was killing guys in college. It's great. It's really good. He's 18. Like, he's a young player. I don't know. There's just something about him that I really don't trust. And I need to see. He needs to go to the right organization. And that's really going to be, that's going to be every single player in this draft, is they need to go to the right organization. And the truth is, some of them are going to go to the wrong one. You know?
Yeah.
The Kings do have a pick, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, like, I remember 3 years ago when we were discussing the draft and Ben Simmons, and I had the same feeling that I have on Anthony Edwards. Granted, I trusted Ben Simmons' abilities, basketball abilities, way more than I trust Anthony Edwards. But about the defensive side and the hard work, the work ethic, I had the same concern. He was not a good defensive player in college. He just didn't care about defense in college. And year one in the NBA, he is, I don't know, top 30 defender in the NBA,
yeah,
right from the start. So who knows? Maybe Edwards just didn't want to, or, and this could be another reason, I mean, college coaches tell their superstar player not to play defense to avoid fouls, because if they are out of the court, then the team loses. Granted, Georgia lost anyway, and lost a lot. But who knows? Maybe he is just a better defender than what he showed to us, and he's working extremely hard right now as we speak about on his shot, on his defense, on his fundamentals. We don't know that.
Yeah, he's got athletic potential, and he can score the ball. My comp for him is Deion. Like, people forget, like, Deion Waiters wasn't always just a big dummy. Like, he had some good years in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could just have Deion Waiters just get it together mentally,
mm-hmm,
he's probably contributing on that Lakers team right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, the Lakers need guys still. Like, they need people to step up. And Deion lost it somewhere along the way. I mean, he was with the Miami Heat. He was with Heat culture for years and didn't get it together. So that's a problem. But he had the year where he's, you know, at center court hitting shots and, you know, folding his arms and, you know, he beat the Warriors. He's a good player. And it's like, it almost feels like an insult to Anthony Edwards to say, like, oh, he's going to be like Deion Waiters. But, like, he could be like best case scenario Deion Waiters, which is a really good player. That's like, that's a starting player in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. About Deion, I mean, the year that he had on the Heat was a year without a lot of pressure. And I wonder, like, he had a ton of pressure on OKC, but the real pressure was on someone else's shoulder. Mm-hmm. On this version of the Heat, I don't know. It seems that he just lost his way somewhere in between OKC and Miami. Because the first year was still good, but then I don't know what happened. And I don't know, maybe it's just that the Thunder culture is something even greater than what we know. And that locker room was actually able to get the best out of him. Because I really think that Deion's best year was with OKC. His second season, not the first time, who just had like a few months. Mm-hmm. He was just a different player. And Miami had better numbers for sure, and also way more possessions to handle in a less pressured environment. So I still think that year of Deion was his best, and he was useful, as you said.
Mm-hmm. You don't have any sneaky Anthony Davis or LeBron comps, do you?
No, I read Danny Avdija and LeBron James, and
somebody did that?
Yeah, I mean, guys.
Oh, come
LeBron James.
Break.
Like, Danny might be a good all-around player in a, like, you can say that he's maybe a wing-like version of Saric, like a guy like that.
Yeah, that's
who can do multiple stuff on the court. But LeBron James, like a guy that At the age of 18, he was able to turn a country, like, and made everyone look at him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. I watched an entire game of Maccabi Tel Aviv, mm-hmm, and it was enough for me. Like, maybe I caught like a really bad game, but I mean, it's nothing like that. Luka, like, if you watched Luka at the age of 16 when he was playing CSKA Moscow, mm-hmm, and he was taking like threes from, I don't know, 35 feet and winning the game at 16, that is a player that is magnetic and you want to see more. Danny might be a good NBA player, but no LeBron comp.
Yeah, if we want to talk about Danny, I mean, I've got my comp for him is like a better passing Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, maybe.
Of anybody on either team. Like that's, and I don't know. I don't like Denny's posture is weird to me. Like he's mm-hmm. he's like too upright.
Yeah.
When he moves around the court. And I don't like that. I think he's gonna be a fine player. I don't even see like future all-star within him. But
not today, no. I mean, there are players that don't have any production in Europe because they are raw talent, talents, and or for other reasons. But like superstars that come from Europe have production. Like Dirk Nowitzki is an exception. Mm-hmm. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a huge exception because he was playing like he had no physical strength at the age of 18 when he was drafted, like just no strength. He was very, very thin. So his body transformation is what helped him. Imagine today Giannis in a Caboclo body, who's not the same player. Like he's really not the same player. His physicality is what makes him special. So I don't see that in Danny. Maybe I'm wrong because I mean, I don't do that for a living, but I don't really see the allure. I mean, you want to have players that can do multiple things. And this is why you probably take a flyer like around position number 10, 11, because there's it's not that there is huge talent there. So you can take a flyer, but this is what Danny is for me, a flyer to get a competent NBA player.
Yeah. And I watched some of him, but is he a fake shooter? Like, is he not a real shooter?
He's not a real shooter yet. That for sure. I don't see him being a knockdown shooter.
Yeah.
And
that's a problem. That's a problem for me with him. Like that's a huge problem.
Yeah. Bender was a fake shooter.
Exactly.
Like this 7 feet tall guy who will be a shooter for sure in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Still waiting. I don't know. I don't trust that. I don't trust the shot. I don't trust the overall profile of a superstar. He may be like a role player, a la Darius Saric. That can be where you can play for a good team, be a starter in this league. Yes, that is, I think, the median outcome. Maybe a little bit more than that, because he can be a bust. He can play like Bender. I don't see why that part of his development can go in a. I mean, there are chances. There are teams where you play him there. Maybe he gets to Sacramento and there is no room for him to develop. And I don't know. Maybe it's just out of the league. So too much time. We spent too much time on Nvidia. But the LeBron comp was really, really bad.
That is really bad. Yeah, that makes me sick to my stomach, actually. Okay, so let's go to the number one overall pick. Or the number one overall player in Sam Vecenie's top 100 on The Athletic, LaMelo Ball. Do you have a comp for LaMelo Ball on the Lakers or the Heat?
Well, I have two columns, best case, worst case.
Yeah.
I don't have a best case because I don't think that either team have a shot creator of that kind at 6'7" without all the LeBron things. But they do have... I do think that there are some similarities between the way in which LaMelo thinks the game and Rajon Rondo. I mean, these are totally different players, but I can see LaMelo being an extremely gifted passer that can rebound the ball, that can play okay defense when he wants to. But he can score the basketball, but he's not a scorer. Mm-hmm. So in the worst to median outcome, I put like a taller version of Rondo.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had for LaMelo, just because he thinks the game at a high level.
Yeah,
and Rondo has somehow gone completely like under the radar, underrated over the last several years, and he's playing in crunch time for probably the eventual champion of the NBA.
Yeah.
And a good player, and not just like, oh, that's all they had. And in some ways it is all they have, but he's a good player. He's still a really good basketball player. And so, I mean, if LaMelo ended up having Rajon Rondo's career, I mean, my goodness, like that would be almost outrageous for this draft and what we're expecting. Cause he was thought of, you know, at times as like the best point guard in the NBA, you know, at least top three at times. And so if LaMelo ever became that, I mean, that would be spectacular. You know, whoever ends up.
Yeah, you probably pick him number one, which is what you should do in this draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. James Wiseman, who has rocketed to the top of the top 100, number two in the top 100, James Wiseman. Do you have a comp for James Wiseman on either of his finals teams?
No, I don't think that the best version of James Wiseman is a Rudy Gobert type of guy. This is what he is.
Like a better offensive player, though, right?
Yeah, maybe slightly worse defensively and a tad better offensively because you can at least hope that the shooting kind of materialized for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, these teams have like bad centers, like bad traditional centers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if everything goes wrong, he can be a McGee type of guy, like a rim protector that plays for 100 teams in his career that has good between 10 and 15 minutes a night. He can play good basketball. He's very specific. Like he can play against these, like some sort of team and not others. I can see a career like that. Or a career like Hashim Thabeet that is still in play for a guy like Wiseman. Because like no one knows anything about him. The athletic abilities are way better than what Thabeet had when he was drafted. His mobility, his hips mobility especially, is not as bad. But guys like that can be problematic in modern NBA. You need to have a team that believes in what you do and play you the right way. Yeah. I don't know if he ever develops an instinct to pass the ball at the high level. There are other players in this draft that can do that from the center position. And so if you have an extremely good shot blocker, like New York's Mitchell, but like you can have guys like that, but are they worth a top two, top three pick in this modern era? I don't know.
Yeah. I think Mitchell's actually like a pretty nice comp for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like James Wiseman. If the Thunder somehow traded up in the draft and got James Wiseman, I'd actually like be pretty excited about that because he could be anything. I mean, honestly, like he could be JaVale. Like he could just be, and maybe JaVale with a better head on his shoulders, you know, which is like that's like a starting level center that probably can't play 30 minutes a night, but could definitely play 30 minutes a night on a bad team. You know,
I'd
actually be pretty excited about that because he does have the potential to stretch, protect the rim, and like he could be a nice player for the modern era. Like he really could be. And if you're 7'1" with a 7'6" wingspan, there's just not that many guys in the NBA that are that can play. So
yeah.
I'd be excited about that. Do you have a comp for Obi Toppin?
Yes. This will sound stupid, but like he can become a better version of Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
Like he started off not as a four, Markieff, I mean, mm-hmm. with a better scoring. He had a few good scoring season and he was actually playing some defense. I do think that Toppin can be a better version of that if everything pans out. Like a real threat from everyone on the court, a guy that will score as the first thing, and then maybe he will be able to do other stuff on the court. And I cannot stop. I can't stop thinking about the fact that he was still on a team that was winning and winning at a high level in college basketball. And you can pinpoint the fact that Dayton was winning because of Obi Toppin playing, because he was playing like he did. He's old, so you can basically think that this is the version of Obi Toppin that will play most of his time in the NBA, like a very gifted scorer that can play some defense, but not way too much. I mean, he has some limitations. His size is not awesome. 6'9", blocks 6'11", wingspan. So you never know, like with old player, not old, 22 years old is not being old, but you can frame him as a scoring power forward that maybe can play in certain setting as your five for 10 minutes a night. So Keith is the only player that I can kind of put close to Toppin. He's not Bam. He missed all the field part. But Bam is a super athlete. I don't know. I know that Keith is not a great player today, but the best version of Keith was a very useful player in this league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think that he could be like super Kyle Kuzma, who's like a productive player, like good athlete, can shoot it from, not like known as like a shooter, but a willing shooter. He's probably a better rebounder than Kuzma is. Kuzma's good, by the way. Like Kuzma was like legitimately very good for the Lakers yesterday.
Yeah,
I was impressed with him. He's one of the only guys that really popped to me for LA yesterday.
Yeah, and I think he's more right now, he's more of a three than he likes to play with LeBron and another big guy.
Yeah.
More so than being the four. I think he's more comfortable in guarding certain players. And that is why I don't think that Toppin would be a guy like that. I don't think that Toppin will ever be able to guard wings. Kuzma, probably you want him to guard slow, bigger, like slow wings. Yeah. And even if they are a tad quicker, I think it's better that than guarding a center for him, while Toppin can be okay guarding a center if he's not Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Or Jokic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, Toppin has to guard big guys. he just has to.
Yeah.
Or else he's just not going to survive in the NBA. But again, he's going to be uber productive. Like he's going to be crazy productive in the NBA. I just don't have any doubt about that. Number five on the big board, Onyeka Okongwu, who's going to get like the most unfair comp in the history of NBA drafts, because I feel like Okongwu is going to do nothing but disappoint because his comp is Bam. Like it's just like, it's really unfair to him because everybody is looking at this draft and watching the NBA finals and like, well, who is the Bam type of guy in this draft? Because there's got to be one, right? Like, yeah, it's probably Onyeka Okongwu. Okay, great. That's the guy. He's going to be Bam. This is great. Look, my team can even get Bam. This is easy. It's easy to get a guy like that. And the truth is it's not. Okongwu's, I really, really like him. I would take him over James Wiseman. I would take him over Obi Toppin every single time. I would.
Yeah.
I really like him. I like his potential on both ends, honestly. I wish he was closer to 7 feet. That's one of the things that's not great about Okongwu is that he's just not that tall. And his wingspan is not like crazy impressive for his size. So, but I really like him and I like his potential on both ends. I just don't know that he can get to the heights that Bam has gotten to so quickly. I just think it's like the most unfair thing about this upcoming draft is that everybody's going to say that Okongwu is Bam, and like Bam's a special player. And excuse me, I don't know if Okongwu can be a special player. I think that he can be a game-changing type of guy on both ends of the court and be a starting level big. I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind. But for him to be the best player in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't know that that's fair.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Yeah, I mean, when you make a comp with a superstar, you either limit the potential of a player, like Luka Doncic. I mean, yeah, we want to compare him to Toni Kukoc or whoever, and Luka is just different. He's just Luka, and he will probably be set as a standard for someone else. Or you raise the expectation way, way too much. And I don't know what kind of player Okongwu can be, and I don't really see the Bam comparison. I mean, Bam reached the game to such a high level, yeah, that asking a rookie to do that, it's a rookie like Okongwu, who's an okay passer, is not fair. I mean, this is what makes Bam special, together with the incredible defensive and athletic abilities that he has, plus a developing touch. I mean, Bam is a great player, but it's unique. He's not, I mean, when you see Okongwu, you don't see what Bam was in college. Mm-hmm. Bam in college wasn't doing those things. Mm-hmm. Okongwu is way more refined as an offensive player. Mm-hmm. You can post up Okongwu from day one and get something out of it. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case for Bam Adebayo. The screening potential is real. I mean, he's a good screener. He's a guy, Okongwu, I mean, that understand basketball. So maybe he will not be Bam, but you can get a mobile center that can play back with his back to the basket, that can make a jumper, and is probably more versatile than Bam on offense. And you don't get the passing.
He's more versatile on defense too, I think. Just because he is a little bit smaller and is, mm-hmm, can, I think he can cover almost anybody.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, you get a different kind of player, but I agree with you. I mean, he is very interesting. I don't know if I would pick him before other guys, like surely not LaMelo and not Anthony Edwards. I would have to think about other guys like Haliburton or probably just Haliburton.
I would take him over Edwards.
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, if I have pick number three and Edwards is there, I don't think twice.
I get that because
you can try and see for yourself if he is that bad, or if he has everything and he just need your guidance. So we'll see.
I should have less doubts about what Okongwu can be and more doubts about what Anthony Edwards could be. I just worry that, like, if the Thunder somehow traded for the number three pick, who are you taking?
Oh, Anthony Edwards, without a doubt. If Wiseman is there and Edwards is already gone, then I'll have to think about it, because I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Probably Okongwu, but there are guys that I think are worth. It depends. I mean, I would not try to get number three in this draft. I would much rather give up something else and get, I don't know, pick number 8 and 12.
Yeah. Yeah,
like the Knicks pick and the Sacramento pick. Those are the picks that you can really get, because I think that there are trades to be made that can get you those picks. Mm-hmm. And if you have those, I know what to do with those. Mm-hmm. I have my ideas.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you about that.
One of the picks you will not like, either with 8 or 12, I will get RJ Hampton.
Yeah.
And be okay with that.
Yeah.
He would probably fail, but I want to see him failing.
Did you have a Hampton? Hampton's 7 on Sam's board, also rocketing up the rankings here. Is he rocketing up the rankings just because of a nice workout video? Is that what's happening?
I think that the reason is those videos, but also
probably paired with a conversation with Mike Miller, I would guess.
Yeah, maybe so. But you kind of like, it's not that remaking your shooting motion is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, the shots that he showed in those clips are really looking the same every single time. Yeah. And this is not very common. But the point is, RJ Hampton's physical abilities and defensive potential and youth, those are in this draft. I do think that I was going to take a flyer even without the shooting part. I mean, around 10, 11, 12, you have guys like Vassell, Keir Lewis Jr., Patrick Williams, Sadiq Bey, and then you have this guy that can be something different, something more, because he has that athletic ability and incredible. Like, I remember watching him against OKC with the Breakers.
Yep.
And you could see that he was different in an NBA court where you have more space, where you have like different rules. It's just more important than in the NBL. And so if you add the shooting to that, I have no problems in seeing him like a 8 to 12 guy compared to 10 to 15, because the shooting for him is really the difference. If he can't shot like Beasley did, like, so imagine that you could see Darius Beasley taking 10 threes in the bubble before the draft, like with that kind of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Or watching him like nailing threes in practice. I think that he's not there at 23, because if you add the shooting, at least the potential of the shooting, to a guy that can do multiple things on the court,
yeah,
you take a flyer. Well, because shooting is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Man. Hey, I just don't know if I can believe in Hampton's shooting, though.
Well,
I just don't know.
But that's okay. But that's okay. I mean, you don't have to believe that necessarily. You have to think, if it doesn't pans out, he is Dante Exum 2.0 or worse.
Yeah.
Which is a wasted pick.
And he also looks just like Dante Exum. It's like unbelievable how much
he looks like
physically
him. Yeah.
Looks like Dante Exum. It's very weird. But the comp is there. Like, the comp is not a bad one, which makes it even weirder to me. It's like, he looks like Dante Exum. He plays like Dante Exum because he's got that burst of speed that no one else has in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Edwards is maybe the next closest one that has the burst of speed. It is unbelievable, but you have to be able to finish once you get to the cup. Like, you have to be able to shoot so that you can have the space to use that burst of speed. And if you can't do that and you can't finish at the rim, then like, your speed is just that, like, you're a track star on the NBA court.
Yeah.
And there are guys, there's been tons of guys like that in the NBA. And I just worry that he'll be the next one. But if he really can shoot, if he really, really can, I mean, I would take him over Tyrese Haliburton. Like, I like Tyrese Haliburton a lot, mostly because I think he's a really smart player that can really pass it and will be a nice pro. Like, his ceiling is just like a starting level guard that is really, you don't want him to be your lead guy because I don't think that he's going to score it enough. But if he's your like de facto point guard, but plays a lot of off ball in the half court type of stuff and can move the ball well and that can hit an open three, like, that's a nice player. Like, that's a player that you'd want to have.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see,
this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
He can be George Hill 2.0 with a little bit more size and same shooting abilities and okay defensively. Mm-hmm. A guy that you can play with other stars and he will make you better.
Yeah.
That is what Ali Burton can be for you.
Yeah, I mean,
but he's not the player.
No. And Hampton could be the guy that you're like, okay, take the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can create something that nobody else can on the court. He's like, Russell Westbrook could create like no other person on the court because he was so fast and ferocious at getting to the rim that it just sucked the defense in and he could hit guys on the outside and like made up, you know, got triple doubles based on that, based on that alone. And RJ Hampton could do that. Like he could be that guy only if he can finish, only if he can mm-hmm. shoot. Only. And so I'd love to see more. What I saw, I really liked. I was actually really impressed and a little shocked when I saw the way that he shot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I don't think seven is crazy because of that. I just am personally lower on him just because I've seen more of the RJ Hampton that scares me than I have of than I've seen 2 minutes of him shooting the ball well. You know?
Yeah. Two things that I want to point out here, and Sam pointed out the same in one of his recent podcasts. The Australian League is not an easy one. There is real talent,
sure.
And there are like veterans that are playing there that will never let you. I mean, it's not that they will let you score. It's actually very hard. As a league, and for a guy that he's 18 going there and playing way better than what a guy like Terrence Ferguson did 2 years ago or 3 years ago, it's very different, the contribution that he had compared to Ferguson. And the second one, I don't remember.
I did want to bring up Hoopstock 69 brought this up in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
So that on the Game Theory pod that Sam and I listened to this. And I still don't know what I think about it. And I trust Sam's opinion over mine, obviously, with the NBA draft. But he said that he thinks that Precious Achiuwa is a closer comp to Bam than Onyeka is.
I don't know. Not Bam is what I've written in column G on my sheet. Alongside Precious Achiuwa's name, not Bam. I don't think he is that guy. I understand why he can be more of a Bam version than Onyeka Okongwu because his physical length and the way in which he play ferocious defense, tenacious rebounder can be closer to what Bam is than what Okongwu has. But I agree. I mean, Okongwu is not a good comp for, like, Bam is not a good comp for Okongwu. That said, there is a steep difference between him and Chu in terms of who is the better player and who probably will be the better player.
Yeah.
It's not particularly good, but I understand. I mean, he reminds you that raw talent, length, and yes, this is what Bam was, but the ability to play, like the feel and the IQ are different, and this is what makes Bam special. Bam is not just a freak athlete, is way more than that. You can have 6'9" freak athletes, but none of them are Bam because of the IQ and the way in which he improved season by season.
Yeah.
Do we agree that Okoro is Iguodala and yes. we can move on because no one likes him? Yeah. No one between me and you, I mean.
I don't like Isaac Okoro. I'm just so afraid the Thunder are going to get the 10th pick and draft him. It scares me. It's horrifying to me that they're going to, it's going to be SGA and Okoro. It's kind of like I'm mortified.
I don't want to be on that island. I probably will be if they drafted him because, but you see, Okoro has a chance to be a shooter. Yeah. He is actually good with the ball and he is an incredible defender. I would much rather be on RJ Hampton Island than in Okoro's. You will probably be alone in that island sooner or later, but better to be in the island that you choose and not the one that the Thunder choose for you.
I know. I'd rather have Tyrese Halliburton than both of them. Just because I know what I'm getting. Like, I know I'm getting a good shooter, a good passer, fine defender. He's got a lower ceiling than both those guys. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, honestly, like, if there's a... Like, the Jimmy comparison is also unfair to Okoro, but, like, he's got the tenacity there. He's got to develop a ton on his jumper to get there, but... Like, Jimmy's not a terrible comp for Okoro. I wouldn't type his name next to Jimmy's just because.
Iggy or Jimmy?
Jimmy. I put I put him next to Iguodala as well because I think that's a more fair comp. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's some Jim. Like, if, like, best case scenario, Andre Iguodala could have been Jimmy Butler, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're not that dissimilar of players.
No. But, no, and Iguodala, but like Philly's Iguodala was something, was a high flyer. Like he was very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Okoro can be that more so than what Jimmy is today. But
yeah, that's true.
Mystery Man Killianes, he's dropping no reason, apparently.
No, I mean, nothing's happened. Nothing's happened.
Yeah, he's not playing.
The only thing that's happened that's new is RJ Hampton released a 2-minute video of him shooting the ball in his underwear. And that's all that happened. It's literally it. And somehow Killian Hayes is 9. I'd take him. If you give me the 9th pick, give him to me.
Yeah.
He can create. He's lefty. He can shoot it.
He's strategic slide. I don't know.
He's so young. I just don't get how we get to the point where it's almost like we flip-flopped on RJ Hampton and Killian Hayes. You know?
Yeah. And I think that the reason behind it is you like what Killian Hayes can be in the NBA. The idea of a player that has a lot of IQ, that is probably going to shoot sooner or later. But then you watch the way in which he attacks pick and roll and the way in which RJ Hampton attacks the basket. And you can see two different kinds of speed.
Oh yeah.
One, I mean, I struggle with Killian because of his first step or lack of thereof. He struggled a lot in beating his own man off a pick and roll action, let alone isolations. So if he is a limited creator because he cannot beat his man, is he a top 10 player in this draft? I don't know. I like the potential of being an extremely good passer because he thinks the game quickly and he makes the right choices. Mm-hmm. He looks for the corners immediately in pick and rolls. But I cannot shake the fact that he was having a hard time beating his own man. And it's not the same as Luka. I mean, I remember Nick Duncan tweeting, yeah, he had trouble beating his own man with Real Madrid. Yes, that happened. But he was going against the best defender in EuroLeague and they were doubling him and there was no spacing on the court. This is not what happened in with Kylian. Kylian just had problems in beating his own man when playing with Granger and other guys that could space the floor for him with no double, just couldn't beat his man with his first step. And these actually worries me. And when you go back and you rewatch the films,
Granger has ever gotten from anybody in the whole world.
Right. Well, but in Europe Cup, he's a good player. Like in not EuroLeague level in Europe, Grant Jarrett is actually okay. He can really shoot it. He was able to shoot it even when he was with OKC. He couldn't do anything else, but shooting was not the issue.
Sorry to detract you. I just had to say something about Grant Jarrett just because you said his name. All right, continue. Sorry.
No, I mean, this is like, at the end of the day, you go back and you look at their raw physical abilities. And if you don't have them, it's much, 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 much harder to be great in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And that's why guys like Killian Hayes and maybe other guys like Cole Anthony are sliding because you don't know. Yeah. I mean, you buy the shooting, you buy the IQ, but you really want to see more mm-hmm. in terms of physical abilities and not on tape.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a good comp for Hayes in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, lefty, you can say Dragic, but it's not the same player. Dragic was a far better three-point shooter when he was young.
Better shooter and just like could get past anybody in the NBA when he was younger. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't a problem.
Yeah, he was one of the best finisher at the rim. Yeah, Dragic was.
He was so good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see that with Hayes. Okay, let's go on to your least favorite player in the draft, Devin Vassell.
Oh, the thing that I said about Hayes can be replicated to Vassell. I really liked him immediately. Like when I saw him playing, wow, this guy will be useful on an NBA court. And I still believe that. I still think that Vassell can be extremely useful on an NBA court because he's a great defender in terms of IQ and positioning and all the things that makes you a plus defender. He will probably be able to shoot it reasonably well between 37-38% on a decent amount of catch and shoot opportunities. Shot creation and off the dribble, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not saying that he will not be able to, but if you look at the number of free throws that he took, it is alarming. Really alarming. Maybe it's a byproduct of the fact that he had no spacing nor shooters to work with. So assist numbers and free throws are bad because he couldn't get to the rim because there was like a crowded area, too much traffic.
Florida State's just notorious for just playing way too many big guys. They'd play four centers if they could.
Yeah.
The thing about Vassell that I would give him a pass on, and the reason why I still like him, is just his size. I mean, you talk mm-hmm. about like these other guards like Killian Hayes and guys like that. Like, they're 6'5". It's a very common size, but like you bump up to like 6'6", 6'7", where Vassell is, and he's got better length. And to me, he's always profiled as a wing shooter, and where guys like Killian Hayes are more guys that are going to be on the ball, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where I still really like Vassell because he's going to be off the ball. All you have to do is shoot it and play defense. And that's why like Danny Green's a good comp. Okay, let's rapid fire some comps real quick. Just tell me if they're good or bad. So here we go. Tyler Hero is Aaron Naismith. Good or bad?
Bad. Naismith cannot dribble and cannot move and or shoot off the dribble.
So I was going to put...
I said wing like Jared Dudley. Too bad.
No, it's good. It's hilarious. Sadiq Bey and Patrick Williams, Jay Crowder.
I think that Patrick Williams can be Jay Crowder. I do think that Sadiq Bey is shorter Kyle Kuzma with a better shooting profile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Duncan Robinson, Isaiah Drew.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why Isaiah Joe is that far off in terms of ranking, but yeah. he can shoot it. He can really, really, really shoot it.
Really shoot.
And he has a lot of, like, the shooting percentage is misleading, I think, because he was like 34% with a bad shot selection, mm-hmm. but very high free throw percentage, like close to 90. This is the same profile that Tyler Hero had at Kentucky. I do think that Joe could be the guy that you take a flyer on with the Thunder pick if they keep it.
Yeah, 47 is low. I need to ask Sam why he's so low on his top 100.
He can do just that. But Duncan Robinson can do just that. It's just super, super elite at shooting the basketball, which is, again, super important.
Yeah. Kendrick Nunn, Tyrell Terry.
Yes, I have the same. A little bit shorter, but a
little bit shorter. Yeah.
Solomon Hill, Tyler Bay. I like that. I also have another Solomon Hill. Let me check. It was somewhere. I cannot find it anymore. But I like that.
I also had hurt back Dwight Howard as Isaiah Stewart.
Yes, yes.
Like, can't get off the ground, Isaiah.
That is exactly right, and this is exactly why the Thunder will draft him instead of.
Please don't. Don't do it, Sam.
I
no.
would be so mad.
Sam, if you're listening, don't do it. Sam, don't do it. Last one, Jamias Ramsey is J.R. Smith.
That is a good one. Shooter.
I kind of
good shooter. I like very, very good shooter, period. But okay.
Yeah.
Well, JR was much better than that when he was.
Oh, JR was so good. People forget.
When he was in Denver, like he was sensational. Like it was just when he got hot, he was like just incredible.
Yeah.
Can Killian Tilly be our Kelly Olynyk with less health?
Ooh,
I love Killian. Yeah. I love Killian.
Of course he could. Yeah. I like him too. Also, Jalen Smith is an Olynyk comp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can shoot.
Yeah.
Like, I really like him. If the Thunder took him, I would be actually pleased with that as well.
I would like the Thunder to draft Xavier Tillman. That guy can play.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of old, but
which is why the Thunder won't.
He is not Bam, but I think there is discover. Like there are some things to discover with him. It's not a finished product. If the shooting improves, he can make you better because of his passing, because of his attitude. I like the guy.
Yeah.
I really like the guy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Thanks for listening to Down to Dunk. We appreciate it. Follow Mikel Ibarra on Twitter at Mikey Ibarra. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht. Leave us an Apple Podcast review if you would. It's very easy. You click the purple podcast app. You hit 5 stars. It means a lot to us. I read every single one, and I'll read some more on Friday this week. I forgot to do that just because there was some wildness on the last Fry Pod, but I'll read some this Friday. So hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.